Yeah, 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 come and take a look at the snow. Bright white as far as your eyesight goes. Come and take a look at the fields of snow. I'll just get my coat, then we're good to go. Come and take a look at the lake. Let's have a quick skate before it gets late. Come and take a look at the frozen lake. Put your clothes on, mate, don't make that mistake.
Greetings, holiday shoppers. There are now 254 shopping days left until Christmas, and you know what that means. It's time for another episode of Christmas Creeps, your one-stop shop for holiday movies and TV shows all year round. My name is Joseph Wade. I'll be your host for this evening. Here with me tonight are my co-hosts, Johnny Five, the human robot.
Hello.
Hello, J-Man. How are you tonight?
Oh, I'm doing terrible. How are you?
Oh, just the same. And Mr. Bradford is here as well. Brad, what's shaking?
I'm doing well, my friend. Riding that high.
One good can check deserves another. Friends, I'm sorry for what just happened to us. You know, I think it was C. Montgomery Burns who said that the best laid plans of mice and men often go awry. And that's definitely what happened to us this week, friends, because we had a movie lined up ready to go to watch for this podcast. And the streaming gods said, oh, no, you don't, and took it right away from us. That film, it was a dog movie. It was a Christmas dog movie. It was a 12 Dogs of Christmas kind of dog movie. Actually, I don't think that's true.
No, it was Christmas all over again.
It was the one that Kim Possible directed and starred in.
Yeah, if that means something to you, then you know exactly what we're talking about. But the powers that be of streaming internet movies said, oh, we can't let you be watching that garbage in April, and snatched it away from us. And we had to improvise rather quickly and landed on somehow, some way, tonight's episode. An All Dogs Christmas Carol.
It's you. It's your fault. You're the one to blame.
Are you talking to me or the stream?
Yes, I'm talking to you. Both of you. You're both to blame.
It is my fault because we landed on two and I personally picked this one. So guys, again, I'm sorry.
It was also partially my fault because I said, I don't care. Dealer's choice. Whatever floats your boat. So I guess my apathy is to blame as well.
I'm going to let the buck rest with Bradford on this one.
Sure, I'll take it. I'll take
Brad's
it.
Brad's general apathy is to blame for everything that happens tonight. And I'm okay with that. I was even going to say, you know, we missed Norwich Madness this year. And so I thought, well, let's just do a series this month called April Sadness. And, you know,
kicking it off
right with an All Dogs Christmas Carol. Friends, are you at all familiar with the All Dogs Go to Heaven franchise?
I'm familiar with how much Don Bluth loves killing animals. Dude fucking loves that shit.
Yeah. Oh, man.
No, Brad, go on.
No, it's true. I grew up, one of my friends, I'm sure, had this on VHS, and I'm sure I watched it at some point. Not this Christmas special, but All Dogs Go to Heaven. They had, like, all the Don Bluth movies, but heaven help me if you put a gun to my head and ask me to tell you about any single one of them except for Fern Gully. Good luck. What was it? Anastasia. I remember renting Anastasia from the rental store and having a bit of a head trip as like what, a 6 year old probably when that came out.
Yeah.
With the rib cage, like somebody dancing around in a rib cage. I remember that. That left an impression on Lil Bradford. I would bet my life on having seen All Dogs Go to Heaven before, but I would not bet my life on being able to provide you a single salient plot point from said movie. It was probably on the background while I was doing something else over at my friend's place when I was like 5 years old.
completely fair. Like, I feel like your household was, if you're a 90s kid, your household was one of two households. You were either a Disney household or somehow, some way, a Don Bluth household.
I was of the former, but my good friend was of the latter, and it worked out well because he was also, I was a Nintendo household and he was a Sega household.
I was about to make that very comparison. Yes, sir.
We got the best of both worlds, my friends.
Mm-hmm.
No console wars here. It is a beautiful console armistice, and we got to do it all. Anyhow. It was very much like a Nintendo Sega dichotomy, right?
Yeah, and I'm like, the one thing I'll give for like Don Bluth movies in general is like, that's the animation equivalent of like blast processing. he figured it out.
The Sega of animation, right? Like a little bit like kind of weird off model, but like still has its own thing going on.
Still has
right?
its charms, and if you're into it, it's great.
Right, exactly.
But also, my personal history with his movies is like I could always tell one of his movies from a mile away because like they were the most traumatizing, sad things I've ever seen. Even to this
right?
day, like I can't Absolutely. Watch Land Before Time anymore. I can't watch An American Tale anymore. I watched the original All Dogs Go to Heaven just to understand what was going on for this episode, and even that was a little like maudlin and too much for me today.
Yeah, the only thing I remember about it is that they're like they go to the racetrack, like they've been on horses because it's a horse's birthday, and like, it's probably the most dead dogs I've seen in any movie that's not Resident Evil.
Good lord, was Little Brave Toaster Don Bluth?
Brave Little Toaster? No, I think that was like proto Pixar, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Like a lot of the Pixar, like it wasn't CG, but like a lot of the Pixar guys worked on it.
Got their start on that one. Okay, all right.
So like, I mean, it all kind of flows back to Disney at some point, but.
Right.
Man, Disney fucking sucks.
How about that Disney?
Let's hear it for Disney, everybody.
Let's hear it for the mega corporation Disney, who is locking down their Disney Plus service very shortly. Rips.
Yeah, rips to a real one. I walked into the room the other day while Nikki was watching that new movie Wish.
Oh, it's so bad.
And like within like maybe 2 minutes of just watching it, I was like, this whole movie is just member berries, isn't it?
It's so
just
bad.
Like Easter eggs for other Disney movies. There's not a story there.
It's really bad. I think I mentioned it on the pod before. We saw it in theaters. Not a good time. It was fine. It was fine, but you could go see any other animated movie and probably have a better time, honestly.
I don't doubt it.
You could probably go fucking watch Wishmaster and have a better time.
Yeah. Anyhow.
The tall man from Phantasm does a voice in Wishmaster, though.
Is there a Christmas Wishmaster movie?
Is there a Christmas Phantasm movie?
Is there a Christmas Pagemaster movie?
And we've come full circle. I don't know how we did it. No, we didn't. Well, I mean, before we talk about this nonsense, I heard a couple of cans open up. Can check, everybody.
All right.
Let's hear it.
I guess I'll go first. I have a Victory Dirt Wolf Double IPA. Mm-hmm. It's good. It's a trusted friend. Victory makes good stuff. Please send me a sticker, Victory.
That sounds good. J-Man, what about you?
I got this new thing I'm trying. I'm not have it's called a waiter or wadder.
You hired a waiter for your house?
Wasser.
No, there's water. Yeah, water. I got out of the toilet, you know.
Oh,
that one.
That one, huh? Speaking of things that aren't anything to do with what you're talking about, hey, so I'm drinking a Beak and Skiff 1911 cranberry cider.
What makes it 1911?
It's old.
Oh, it was established in 1911. The year that this brewery was established is the largest piece of information on this can.
Okay.
So
how's the cranberry cider?
I mean, it tastes like a it's cranberry and it's cider. Like, put those two flavors together. There you go, friends.
They're two flavors that I enjoy, so.
It's pretty good, but, and you know, this is also April, so I'm just trying to get rid of it at this point.
Oh, was this a holiday joint?
Oh, very much so, yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, just trying to dig through the back of the fridge and say, hey, what's going on back there?
There you go.
Yeah. So before we can talk about this special, I guess I need to kind of situate where it is in the All Dogs Go to Heaven, like, universe.
Please do, because I thought these dogs were dead.
Okay. So you had the original All Dogs Go to Heaven. It came out in 1989. It's about the main dog, Charlie, who is kind of a shitheel. And his former partner, who is Carface, who is also the villain in this thing, kills him to get him out of the way. He goes to heaven, realizes, I don't want to be in heaven, steals a pocket watch that has like his life essence, rewinds it, goes back to Earth, and basically rights the wrongs and gets back at Carface and all that stuff. But the caveat is, if the pocket watch winds down and, you know, turns off, he can't go back to heaven and he has to go to hell. And watching that today, it occurred to me that is literally the exact plot of Spawn. And I couldn't get that out of my head watching the rest of this fucking kids movie.
Does Charlie at some point go to hell in this movie? For like a brief moment,
he does. It's like a dream sequence, but you're like, okay, that's what hell's gonna be. But it's like all lava and fire and brimstone and stuff.
Sweet,
it's the real deal.
So, what? I'm gonna call our shot. The next stocking stuffer we should really do, and we're gonna get some SEO going here, is the Smiling Friends Christmas special, where another Charlie also goes to hell.
Oh, great.
Anyways, please continue.
Okay. But then they made a sequel in 1996, I believe. And the sequel is apparently his, let me get this right here. His pal Itchy is also now in heaven. And decides that he doesn't want to be in heaven, so they go on a second adventure.
But is Charlie dead at the end of the first All Dogs?
Yes, he comes back to life, does his stuff, and then, like, having made good on everything, says, "I'm okay being dead." And he literally goes to heaven.
Okay,
that's the end of the movie.
So, despite Charlie being kind of a piece of shit, the title is true. Like, all dogs, no matter what they did, go to heaven. Is that
yes? That's literally explained. Like, you know, all dogs are good and pure. So no matter how bad a dog is, they go to heaven, whether they like it or not.
All dogs are bastards.
All right. So unless Charlie messes up with the pocket watch, and he will be the first dog in history to go to hell.
Charlie, apparently. Don't forget to wind your watch.
Exactly. All right.
Thank you for explaining this to me. Continue. Okay,
the sequel takes place 60 years later.
60?
Yes. So the original takes place in 1939. The sequel takes place in 1999.
All right. Okay.
Where Itchy is now in heaven. So apparently Itchy has been alive a long fucking time. But they have to go back to Earth to stop somebody from stealing the angel Gabriel's like apocalypse horn.
Yeah, this time they got to go back and protect John Connor.
Yes. In the second one, so in the first one, Charlie is voiced by Burt Reynolds. In the second one, he's voiced by Charlie Sheen.
Huh.
In the third, so not the third, in the after the second one, they made a TV series where Charlie and Itchy are guardian angels watching over random kids in San Francisco.
Okay, and that's kind of where this links in,
right?
I guess.
This, An All Dogs Christmas Carol, is literally the series finale of the All Dogs TV series.
Oh.
Yes.
Huh.
Even though, like, as the series finale, they said, let's just make it a direct-to-video Christmas movie. Why not?
I see.
So in this, the entire, like, voice cast for the TV series came back to do all of their voices again, including a couple of people from the original film.
So,
yeah.
I'm not going to do this. I don't care enough to do this. I was going to break it down with Carface being like 90 years old, but I'm not going to do it. I don't care. Anyways.
It doesn't matter. It's a cartoon. It doesn't matter.
Continue.
Like Charlie and Itchy being guardian angels. Okay, fine. Whatever.
But yet still being flesh and blood dogs, apparently, I guess.
Apparently, I'm not entirely sure. And again,
they don't really.
It's enough of a children's movie where, like, I don't care. And they didn't either.
Yeah. They didn't bother, so why should we?
Exactly, friends. That's where we're at. And, like, watching this whole thing play out, all I'm doing is, like, looking up the voice actors and trying to figure out who can we get in the Triple Threat Club. And I don't think there's any candidates in this.
So we got Ernest Borgnine.
Right.
And we did the Grinch, the OG Grinch special.
Right.
But he's... Do we have anything else with Mr. Borgnine going on?
I don't even know if he was in the original Grinch.
He was saying, "You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch."
That was not Ernest Borgnine, friend.
Ah, I thought it was Ernest Borgnine.
That was Thurl Ravenscroft.
Oh, see,
that's Tony the Tiger.
See, that's why you're just much smarter than me with a huge cock of a voice.
No, it. Thank you, Brad. Thank you.
That's why you're the dean of this podcast. Okay, so that was not Ernest Borgnine. My mistake.
No, that's okay. That's okay.
We got the wacky brother from Wings.
Yeah, Steven Weber is now taking over for Burt Reynolds / Charlie Sheen. I don't think he's been in any other Christmas movies either, though, you know, I could be wrong. I would love to be wrong about any of these. We've got Dom DeLuise as Itchy. He's like one of the only people who's played his same character throughout the entire run of these movies and series.
He's a workhorse.
He loves
what he does.
He is a Don Bluth diehard, apparently. If we were doing if we were doing a Triple Threat Club for the Don Bluth verse, he would be in it to win it. Yes,
he's in it for the love of the game.
Absolutely, but again, don't think he's done any other Christmas movies than this. So that's a shame. So let's get off of this train because there's no fruit on this tree, and I'm just mixing my metaphors at this point. Here's the thing. I really, really don't want to play the donation game this week, even though it would be too easy, but B, I did just donate money to our local SPCA, and again, that's just kind of a layup now, isn't it?
Yes. Well, thank you for doing that.
Of course. Jonathan was able to get it in 27 seconds last week, so we donated $33 to our local SPCA.
You know what? Maybe I should put, in the spirit of keeping things going, I'm going to put my money where my mouth is, and we are going to play this game.
Oh, jeez.
But
Louise.
Finally, Joseph, I don't know that... Have you ever played this game?
That's why musicians learn to play music so they don't have to dance.
So I think we're gonna play this game.
Okay.
And I think I will. It's our usual thing. You're gonna have 60 seconds, and we will we'll take the difference, and I will donate that to a charity of your choice.
Okie dokie. I mean, I would feel like a real heel not giving money to another animal shelter after this.
That's fair. Well, why don't you? We're gonna play this game,
okay, and you're
gonna direct me to an animal shelter of your choosing, or animal oriented charity of your choosing.
I see.
Why don't you collect your thoughts?
Okay.
I'm gonna go ahead and get a stopwatch ready. And you let me know when you're ready, and I will start the timer.
Okay. I am ready.
You're ready? I'm going to count you in. You're going to go on go. All right.
Okay.
I'm going to start the timer on 3, 2, 1, go. So, all right. 3, 2, 1, go.
Annabelle the Heaven Dog reads a Christmas story to a bunch of dog children at Christmas time in heaven about the time that Charlie and Itchy, two guardian angel dogs that live in San Francisco, saved Christmas by making their longtime nemesis Carface come to terms with the terrible choices that he's made in his life because they realize that he is going to ruin Christmas with the help of a demon dog named Belladonna, who's going to make all the dogs in San Francisco steal Christmas presents from under the tree using an evil whistle, dog whistle, that she has made Carface steal. So Charlie and Itchy conspire to do a Christmas Carol thing on Carface where they show him his past, his present, and his future to make him see the error of his ways and help them save the day. God bless us, everyone. The end.
I got you at 51 seconds.
Oh, God.
Now, in the spirit of Christmas, I will add $10 onto that donation, because $9 is a little too miserly.
I mean, that covers the transaction fee.
So I'm gonna put you down for nine, but let's just go ahead and make that an even 20 there, my friend.
You know what? I'll also throw in nine because I feel like I screwed the pooch on that one.
Literally, no, I'm just kidding.
No,
no. So, it's I see why you've always lobbed this game towards Jonathan and I. No. You did great. You really covered all the bases.
I covered all the bases, but to what end? I think I could have tightened it up.
I think you could have probably dropped the framing device, for starters.
But you know what? You know, this is my first time. I think I did okay. I at least won the game.
You did it.
We've done it before where someone has gone grossly over, and like that ain't helping anybody.
Yeah. All right. So $20 to the charity of your choosing.
I'll throw in nine as well. I'll Venmo you $9, so make it a nice 29. That's helpful.
We'll just make it 30.
Okay.
Nice round terms.
Happy tax day, everybody.
Oh yeah, that's coming up. Maybe file your taxes if you haven't done that yet. Although I think this will come out after tax day.
I mean, you should really file them. Like, yeah.
If you haven't done your taxes yet, you might want to do it if you live in the United States.
This episode was not brought to you by TurboTax.
Yeah, of course not. If you live in a civilized country where they do the government does your taxes for you, though, ignore this message. Anyhow,
true dat.
Good job.
So yeah, this like 70-minute All Dogs Go to Heaven series finale has to also cram in like a 30-minute Christmas Carol somewhere in the middle of all that, and it's kind of a lot.
It's they don't even get into the Christmas Carol angle until like what? I didn't write down the timestamp. That's a good 30 minutes into the special, right?
Oh, it's a solid 30 minutes because they waste a lot of time doing their own thing, like interacting with their own series of characters, singing songs. And then, like, oh yeah, we have a plot to get through.
There's a 5-minute song. So there's the framing device, right?
Right.
And then there's like a 5-minute Christmas song
about how great Christmas is. Yes.
And then Carface comes and steals everybody's stuff. Mm-hmm. And then there's like another solid 5 to 10 minutes of just cartoon hijinks. Is the best way I can describe it.
It does kind of become like a little Home Alone-ish there for a bit because yeah, Carface steals all of like the dogs' money or bones,
but also money. They're counting coins at the, I don't know.
Right. And so Charlie and Itchy decide they're going to like break into his headquarters and steal it back. But everything they do fails because this is a cartoon. Like up to and including like they do the two people stacked in a trench coat routine to get into the vault, and that fails. They try to go down the chimney like Santa Claus, but he blasts them with a rocket, and that fails.
And then they just try to break down the door with a Christmas tree.
Which works, but also they just get kicked out anyway.
And then they call the cops, but the cops just shoot all the dogs.
Sorry, I shouldn't laugh at that.
No, Jonathan, but... no, I think you're mistaken. Don Bluth didn't actually do this one.
Oh, okay, okay. It did have dead puppies at the beginning, though. Like, the way you get angel puppies is by having dead puppies.
That's true.
That is extremely true, yes. Like, as soon as I hit play on this and you see, like, angel puppies in heaven, like, my first thought was like, oh no, I've done something horribly wrong.
Like, in Final Fantasy XIV, in one of the areas, there's, like, fairies or pixies, and, like, it's like, oh, they're the spirits of children, which means there are a lot of dead children running around that area.
Yeah, that's
welcome
true.
Welcome to video game chat, everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
Welcome to dead kid chat, everybody.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
If you're playing along at home, this is the moment when you take a drink and then never stop.
Well, it's fun that you mentioned that because there's Timmy, which we haven't talked about.
Oh, man.
Timmy is the Tiny Tim stand-in, who is a real live puppy living in San Francisco who has a bum leg. But it's mentioned several times throughout this movie that Timmy's probably not going to make it to the next Christmas without a medical intervention. Which I don't believe Dickens wrote into the original Christmas Carol.
Yeah, like, we don't know what's wrong with Tiny Tim. It's just that, oh, he's sickly and he's poor.
He's going to have a bad time. It's not that he's going to die in 6 months if he doesn't receive this operation.
Listen, his back leg is in a splint. This will kill him.
Yeah.
But, I mean, later on, they kind of get into, like, the actual, like, what's going to happen to him, and they kind of imply it. But yeah. It's still very, like, vague, wishy-washy, like, oh, yeah, Tiny Tim's going to die.
Yeah, Tiny Tim dies because he, like, watched the ring tape through a kinetoscope.
He was the only one? Like, why didn't they get anybody else?
He was the only one who watched it.
So Charlie announces that they're going to run a scam on Carface to get Carface to, like, give the money back. But he gives a very, like, winking to the camera and says, like, we're going to do a Dickens of a scam.
Is it really a scam, though? It's more of a guilt trip than a scam, right?
Well, I mean, anything that bilks money out of another person, I guess, is technically a scam.
I suppose.
The Webster's definition of a scam, I guess it applies here, but no, they're just gonna show him the error of his ways, which they can do because now that I know this, they're guardian angel dogs, so they have like the magic of heaven or whatever. That explains why they do all the things that they do.
But they have to be granted it through a special collar that they only get every once in a while, apparently.
Something like that. I didn't go into the full like series to understand their deal. But I guess that's what's going on.
Yeah, because they only have a certain amount of power with the magic dog tag.
Right.
Yeah, the power only lasts until like the little song ends.
It's convenient, but they start their thing with Carface watching TV in his bed on Christmas Eve, and Itchy shows up as the ghost of Christmas Past. And shows Carface his first Christmas at home with his mother. And, oh, that's adorable. And then you see him in his first human family's home, which is which I noticed they called it the Parker House, which is obviously a reference to A Christmas Story. So this was Ralphie's dog at some point. Right? Maybe.
I guess. Yes. I suppose.
I'm trying to make this fun for myself, okay?
Maybe it was Warby Parker.
You do you.
Well, you know, that kid did wear glasses, so I'll buy that. But, yeah, so Carface is like, I guess original sin was that what did he do? He broke something in the house.
He was on the floor. He was a fucking puppy and just had shit-ass humans.
I was wrong. Timmy's the one who broke something in the house. You're right, though. Carface knocked over the Christmas tree and then peed on it. And it was then that it occurred to me, like, he should have taken a lesson from Rover Dangerfield. Because Rover Dangerfield is very clear. He would never do it on a Christmas tree. And if you're familiar with Rover Dangerfield, you know what I'm talking about. There's an entire song in the middle of that animated Rodney Dangerfield talking dog movie where he sings about not wanting to piss on Christmas trees. If it were a Christmas movie, we could talk about it, but no, we can't. We have to do it here.
Yes. Obviously, it's just the humans being garbage humans and not realizing that an on-house trained puppy will be wherever it damn well pleases.
That is true.
Yeah.
So he's out on the street. Then Christmas present shows up, and it's the female dog named Sasha who shows him a musical number from Killer, who is trying to wrap a monogrammed blowtorch for Carface, which is adorable.
It's maybe the best. It's my favorite bit of this movie, honestly.
It's delightful.
I just like Killer. I think I just like Killer. Is he in the original movie?
Yes, he is. Yeah. Killer. Let's see here. Who's Killer? Killer is voiced by Charles Nelson Reilly, who also did the voice in the first movie. So him and Dom DeLuise are the only two who have been through this entire series. Good for them.
Here's the nutty part of me about the cast. So Bebe Neuwirth is Annabelle and Belladonna. And for the Belladonna voice, it sounds like she's imitating Tress MacNeille, who was on the series.
Yeah, that's absolutely like a Tress MacNeille sort of joint, right?
Totally. Like, who did Tress MacNeille play in the series? Does it say?
Yeah, it did. Winifred Bessamy Bess de Vinkerville or Gerda.
Okay, yeah, those words mean nothing to me.
Yeah,
so
not characters I've heard of. Like, no, okay. Couldn't tell you.
All right.
I mean, she's just doing, like, she's just trying to do Darkwing Duck villainess, whatever her name is, right? That's what she is, right?
Oh, yeah, totally. At this point. Absolutely, yeah.
Elvira Duck or whatever her name is. What is it?
I was thinking of, like, the girl demon from Gargoyles. What was her name? It's basically Belladonna, right?
Gargoyle?
Yeah. Girl Goyle. Like, choose like a vaguely goth female antagonist from a children's cartoon in the 90s, and you're there. You got it.
That's the one.
It's done.
Yeah. There were entirely too many of them for some reason.
They all have the same voice, and you know the voice.
They're all doing Rita Repulsa voice.
Oh, man. Also, yeah, Belladonna, who's the demon dog, sings her part of the song, and it's like, for a second, I thought she was singing it from hell until they established that it's Alcatraz Island. And so, like, I literally wrote in my notes, this movie beat South Park to Christmas Time in Hell by a full year. And I'm going to die on that hill.
I like it.
All right. But then Sasha shows him, and by him I mean Carface, Timmy's home life, because Timmy is living with a poor family, and if Timmy doesn't behave, then Mom's going to put the dog back out on the street, and that is what will kill him. It's later revealed, because if he can't stay in a warm home with a loving family and they don't have the money to support him, he's gone. He's a goner.
Oh, he's going to be dead.
And now Jonathan is posting Rita Repulsa gifts in the back channel.
No, that's me. I'm just posting amid bajillion Rita Repulsa gifts in the back channel.
And
this is now a Rita Repulsa appreciation station.
And I immediately hate that I noticed they're all three different actresses.
They sure are.
Yikes. Okay.
Anyhow.
Oh boy. So Carface sees a little bit of himself in Timmy. So he starts to decide to change his ways. But not before the final act happens. And the craziest thing I've seen in this or any movie happens, which is that Charlie shows up as Christmas Future. And for inexplicable reason, he is dressed like the Mask.
And he even says, what is it, somebody stop? He says a Mask line.
He says, somebody stop me.
I thought it was supposed to be Dick Tracy.
No, it's the Mask.
That's even fucking very worse. That's very clearly a Mask reference.
Yeah, I stopped paying attention five minutes in.
The first words out of his mouth in this costume are, somebody stop me.
And it's not Dick Tracy, because Dick Tracy would never say somebody stop me, because he's the head of the police and nobody would. But then he sings a song to Carface called Clean Up Your Act, about how Carface should clean up his act. And he does the entire thing in the mask costume. Like, it's not a joke or a sight gag. It's like, this is the bit that he's committed to for the rest of this act.
It's odd.
And like,
to say the least.
This is 1998 we're talking about here. And this is a movie for four-year-olds. No four-year-old I could think of would either know or care what the mask is.
It's something for the parents, I guess.
Something for the older siblings who have to sit and watch this with their younger siblings.
Right.
Maybe.
Something for the animators who had to work on this film, I guess. Something for the people in the storyboard room.
That's,
I don't know,
probably more true. But it also kind of makes me sad that they couldn't get Burt Reynolds or Charlie Sheen back. I would have loved to hear either one of them do a mask impression.
Just to say somebody stop me?
Yeah, just to hear Charlie Sheen go, somebody stop me.
Are either of them on Cameo? Can we just get a cameo of them just doing their best mask impression?
I think it would be pretty hard to get a cameo of Burt Reynolds.
Yeah, he is in fact dead at this point.
He is deceased? Okay, this continues a long-standing tradition of Bradford not knowing whether certain actors are alive or dead, so...
I mean, I can search Burt Reynolds in Cameo and we'll see what happens.
As you were.
No, nothing happened. So let's look up Charlie Sheen instead. Charlie Sheen is temporarily unavailable, unfortunately.
Well, that's a shame. He'd probably also be quite expensive, I would imagine.
Probably so, but that would be... quite the cameo request to just ask him to say somebody stop me in his Charlie B. Barkin voice from All Dogs Go to Heaven 2.
It almost makes me want to see if he comes back on, if what the cost is, because maybe it's worth it. I don't know.
Remember the time we got a cameo from Michael Papa John, and he was very, very nice to us for no reason.
Yes, he was a class act.
Oh, good stuff. All right. Well, we're getting to the end of this. So Carface has definitely, like, seen the error of his ways, and he's going to change, and he's going to help them stop Belladonna's dastardly plan to...
But not before going through with the plan, like, halfway.
Not before getting hypnotized himself to going through with the plan. Like a real dipshit.
But eventually he comes through.
But eventually,
Because of Timmy. He sees a lot of himself in that little dog.
All for Timmy. And they launch the device, and the dog whistle goes off, and all the dogs are starting to steal their stuff. And then Carface says, no.
The problem with this plan is that they're like, oh, it's going to ruin Christmas. It only ruins Christmas for any household that has a dog, which is probably like 30% of households in San Francisco at best.
Maybe.
Like, you know, you have dog households, you have cat households, and you have no pet households. And in a city, I feel like it's going to be more leaning towards cats or no pets, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, especially like San Francisco. I feel like, listen, anybody in San Francisco who happens to listen to this show, if you know of, like, the pet population in your area, please let us know, because I would love to find out.
If you are a census worker, if you work at the city in San Francisco and you happen to know the pet population, drop us a line.
Yeah, xmascreeps@gmail.com.
Are you guys required to register your cats with, like, the county or whatever?
I don't think we're required to. But, like, if you're going to chip your cat, yeah, I think you do.
Okay.
But only if you, like, chip them.
Which you should.
Which you probably should, yeah.
Okay. Because I'm required to pay a licensing fee for Charles B. Barkin. Charles B. Barkin... every year with the county, so
And if you don't pay it, can the county start using his likeness without your permission?
Not over my dead body, because that boy is gold. Lay and I have discussed at length if animal cloning gets cheap enough, if we could license out Charles's genetics, just because he's such a golden beauty boy.
Yeah.
But we haven't gotten there yet.
I kind of hate to admit this, like, on the podcast to the world, I would buy a Charles.
You would buy a Charles. Everybody would buy a Charles. Everybody needs a Charles. He's gonna be a worldwide phenomena. He's the sweetest boy. You must have a Charles.
I feel like he's the one dog that our cat would be able to boss around, but she wouldn't, because he's just such a gentleman.
No, the cat would absolutely boss around Charles, and it's not because he's a gentleman. It's just because he's a cowardly piece of shit. No, I'm just kidding. He's the best boy.
Nope, that's staying in, Brad. I'm not gonna cut that out.
No, he's the best boy. You gotta keep him. You want a Charles. Everybody needs a Charles.
Everybody needs a Charles. No one's arguing that.
I love the Charles. I should mention, I mentioned this before. It took me about, I was like two-thirds to three-quarters of the way through this movie when I realized this dog has the same name as my dog.
Right.
Charles.
Which is why we're saying this. Exactly.
And I am absolutely going to start calling him, we have a bunch of nicknames for him, but I'm going to call him Charles B. Barkin from now on.
I really admire the restraint, even in like 1989, to not call your dog character Charles Barkley.
Oh, I call him Charles Barkley already.
No, I mean like in the movie.
Yeah, I know. Let's see. Let me think. We call him Charleston Chew. We call him Charlito, which was coined by one of our friends. And then I spun that off into Supreme Court Justice Samuel Charlito. I call him Stink Lord, Beauty Boy, depending on his current state of grooming. He's a good boy. I love him.
He's a wonderful dog.
I think I'm the only dog. Am I the only dog owner currently in this podcast?
I believe you are. The other two are cat owners, I guess. But there are enough dogs in my life that I can say I love a good doggo.
There's a good some good dogs out there.
I got to hang out with Basil the other day, and he was a real delight.
How's Basil Bear doing?
Basil's doing good. He's my brother's corgi, and while Dan is away on vacation, Basil's hanging out with Mom and Dad, and he is very well behaved.
Let's hear it for the dogs.
Let's hear it for doggos, everybody.
Yay, dogs.
I want to pet those dogs. Also, I wrote in my notes here at some point, I said, if I had to pick any dog to wear a backwards hat, yeah, it'd probably be a dachshund.
Yeah, that's fair. Itchy was kind of doing the Slink thing before Slink a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
But if you're going to make a cartoon dachshund, they all kind of behave about the same, I feel like, right?
Sort of. Like, I know dachshunds are kind of... The dachshunds that I have met in my life have been kind of aggressive.
They're also as dumb as a pile of bricks. They're some of the dumbest dogs. No, seriously, look it up. If you look at a list of like perceived breed intelligence, dachshunds are almost always at the bottom of the list.
Like, I've always heard that dachshunds are like the one dog that have like a real Napoleon complex, where like they either don't know how small they are, or they do know how small they are, and they're angry about it.
Right. Can we talk about the sort of racist Chihuahua?
Okay, sure.
There's a Chihuahua, and being a film from the 90s, it has the accent you think it does.
Oh yeah, he does. Yeah,
right. It's Carlos Alazraki, so it's just he's just doing the Taco Bell dog again.
Wait, is it literally the Taco Bell dog voice actor?
Yeah, it's Rocco.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's true. Well, that is it. So, I guess give him a
Taco Bell dog. I mean, that doesn't make the voice not like that, but yeah, at least it actually is a
Hispanic person doing the voice.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fair. I'll give them that. It's literally the Taco Bell dog voice person, right?
Yes. Yes, it's Rocco from Rocco's Modern Life.
Caricature though it may be.
Okay, I'll give them that.
Brad just made that connection.
I'm not going to rescind this statement, but it makes it a little bit better, right?
Yeah, it's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine.
I mean, they still made the decision to have a Chihuahua with a Mexican accent in their movie, I guess. But whatever.
I mean, in the
90s were a different time.
In the big book of like race jokes, that's like the easiest layup, right? Like you don't want to make it. Nobody should make it, but like, yeah, it's there.
It's a minor sin. Yeah, I suppose.
I mean, we've gotten over the Taco Bell dog. I think we can move on. You know, as a society.
As a society.
We've also got a couple other, like, a lot of just sort of veteran voice actors, and they're all credited as just additional cast. Like, I don't know who they voice in here, but, you know, Dee Bradley Baker's in here. He's been a big Warner Brothers guy for a long ass time. Let's see, who else we got? Yeah, I'm just reading IMDb now. Yay for me.
That's our podcast. Welcome.
Yeah, there's a couple other standbys in here. There's the woman who did the voice of Ducky in Land Before Time after Judith Barcy.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Judith Barcy was in the original All Dogs Go to Heaven. That was her last movie. We bring that up like too much on this podcast, I feel, and it makes me uncomfortable. But let's move on. Let's talk about dumb dogs and stuff.
Yeah, the dogs are very dumb.
The dogs are dumb, and the day is saved.
The day is indeed saved. The whistle is canceled, and the dogs, being the good boys and girls that they are, take the presents back into the house.
Yes,
because they know to do that. Because they're good dogs, and all dogs go to heaven. I guess.
And I guess, like, if that's going to be the end of the series, how does the series end? Well, I guess all dogs go to heaven. There you go.
Christmas is saved and all dogs go to heaven. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. No cats were harmed in the making of this special.
There wasn't a single cat in this movie, was there?
I don't think there, unless you want to count, like, the weird, like, hell demons that Belladonna hangs out with.
Those aren't cats. Those are imps.
Whatever. Same difference.
But I repeat myself.
Anyways. Let's hear it for cats, everybody.
Cats are all right. They get a bad rap. They're fine.
I love our cat. What are you talking about? So, yeah, I'm dumb talking about this. This is dumb. Let's go.
If you don't like cats, fuck you.
No, they're fine. They're good animals. They reflect ourselves. They're selfish creatures just like humans are.
No, yeah.
And who can blame them?
Cats are blank slates that we project our own personalities
on. Precisely.
Dogs are genuine emotional creatures. Birds are perfect mimics. Cats are like fucking mirrors. Let's go to the crankometer, shall we?
Yes.
Oh, God. This is our patented XY-axis for rating Christmas movies. This is a movie. This is a Christmas special. Like, so I'm not counting this as like a stocking stuffer or anything. But this is our patented XY-axis for rating Christmas movies. The X-axis is how Christmassy a film is, and the Y-axis is how good a film is. So in All Dogs Christmas Carol, friends, how Christmassy is this? I'm going to go out on a limb and say not very Christmassy.
No, it's like kind of at best, right?
Yeah.
They do all like the butt Christmas, so Christmas is the best time of year, and they ape A Christmas Carol, which they get no points for.
Yeah, because it's extremely like, we read the Cliff Notes and this is what happens.
Yeah, they read the assignment and phoned it in.
I will say I appreciated like when Carface is going through the TV channels and he lands on one and it says like, It's a Wonderful Carface. I thought that was pretty funny.
Okay.
But that's nothing.
That's nothing. Zero? Maybe a one?
Like, here's the thing that we always say is it doesn't misuse Christmas at all, you know? Like,
no.
The general, like, spirit of giving and the good vibes of the season really carry it. And there's really not much lip service paid to, like, Christmas as a holiday.
I will give it this in that, like, the background music used a lot of, like, subtle leitmotifs from Christmas, like, classic Christmas songs.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
If you listen closely, there's like "God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen" and "Jingle Bells" and other stuff like that. Like that is the most credit that I'm willing to give this movie.
That's fine.
Whoever did the score for it did a pretty bang up job on it.
Yeah,
and like didn't make it wasn't beating you over the head with it, but was like if you were listening for it, did a pretty good job. And that's where I'm willing to give it maybe a point.
I can see that. Jonathan, what do you think?
This movie is written by a guy named Jim Magon. Jim is spelled J-Y-M-N.
No, you're making that up. Fuck you.
No, I'm sorry. He's not.
Jungle Jim.
I do kind of hate, though, that on IMDb it credits three writers, Jim Magon, Charles Dickens, and Don Bluth.
It credits Charles Dickens and Don Bluth.
Like they were all in the same room at the same time.
Do they even credit them in the credits?
I want the film. I mean, this is IMDb, so it's very basic, like crew info. But okay. I'm trying to find. Oh yeah, here Jim Magon, Charles Dickens, and then characters created by Don Bluth. So like they kind of parse it out, I guess, but still.
I guess it's like based on the concept by Charles Dickens, based on the characters by Don Bluth. I don't know.
Yeah. It's
but that doesn't that, yeah.
It's just the way IMDb like couches it, I think is funny. It's nothing to do with the film. It's all on IMDb because their you know metadata is just kind of falling apart.
Right.
I'm fine giving this a I'm sorry, I stole that from Jonathan completely. I am sorry, Jonathan. Do you have anything else to add?
Any votes on Christmosity there, John?
It was a Christmas carol. That's about all I have to say about it.
So was Bah Humduck, and that was really bad.
You know, I'm willing to give this the edge over Bah Humduck just because
For sure. Bah Humduck is an abomination to God and man.
Because this is more just like, yeah, we know you know what the Christmas Carol is. We're just going to do it. Bah Humduck is so like ham-fistedly terrible.
Yes.
Like, no, there's no saving that. This, I'm willing to give it at least 1 point, just for Brad's point there. But, yeah.
Does that make it a zero or a one? Do you think?
Oh God, I want to give this a value neutral zero so bad.
I think a zero is fair for this movie because it does so little with like what it's given. It doesn't do any twists on A Christmas Carol. There's not really a whole lot going on with like the Christmas thing beyond the trite Christmas is the best time of the year. Hooray.
Yeah.
There's like one store window in the entire thing. The dogs decorate for Christmas, but like, who cares? I don't know.
That's true. Yeah, and like all
it just doesn't. It doesn't exude the feeling of Christmas, right?
Right. I don't get it. I wouldn't think of this as a Christmas thing unless they said it out loud.
It doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't give off that Christmas vibe that we're looking for. I think, and Christmosity is very much like a vibe-based scale, is it not?
Very much so, yes.
A zero, I think, is fair for this movie.
Also, I want to point out, I just discovered the, I guess, the French poster for this movie. Okay. Where it's not an All Dogs Christmas Carol, it's not like an All Dogs Go to Christmas special. It's called Charlie the Christmas Story.
Charlie the Christmas Story.
Charlie Le Conte de Noël.
Sweet.
Great. Someone's probably going to correct me on that. I don't care. So yeah, this is a zero on Chrismosity. Now the y-axis, friends, was this any good at all?
Not really.
No. Like, I don't want to be mean to it. That's my only defense, is I don't want to be mean to it. Because I realize this is for small, small children, and that's okay. But if you're going to ask me to watch this again, I'm going to laugh in your face.
Yeah, no, it was... It did not... I think a problem we've had on Christmas Creeps recently, and which is why I was so excited to watch Christmas All Over Again, is that it looked like an unmitigated pile of garbage. We've been watching too much, like, halfway decent stuff on Christmas Creeps recently, right?
Yeah, I think we have. We've been watching real movies lately, and it's kind of spoiled us.
This is the first movie in a while where I could not bring myself to give it my undivided attention. So I think that already puts it in the negative column.
Yeah, you're
like
already...
a negative. I'm going to give it a soft negative, like a negative one or a negative two. Like, it's bad, but like, what do you expect? It's a made for TV movie for literal babies, right?
Right. And it's like, it's the end of a run of a franchise that should never have been a franchise in the first place. So like, probably nobody was really giving a shit. That's fine. You're making right. your paycheck and you're getting out the door. That's fine.
And yet, in that sense, I think it should get a negative score, because nobody was in this for the love of the game, right?
I think that's pretty much it. Like,
it was absolutely the definition of phoned in.
Right. Like, I can appreciate that they decided, like, we did three seasons of an All Dogs Go to Heaven TV series. How do we end this? Let's make a Christmas movie. I get that. But I also just think, you know, just let it be over. Let this be done.
I'm going to go with, like, a negative one.
I'm fine giving it a negative one. Like I said, I don't want to be mean to this movie. It's just not for me, and I'm just not 4 years old.
I mean, right. Yeah, I'm not going to give it too much credit, because it's a kind of lazy direct-to-video sequel in the era of lazy direct-to-video sequels.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, this was also, I looked this up for my notes. This came out the same week that two other Christmas movies did, which we've covered on the podcast. The Jonathan Taylor Thomas I'll Be Home for Christmas movie. And also the Will Smith Enemy of the State, which are two very different movies. And neither one of them has anything to do with this. But like, that's the era we're working with here. And
negative two?
Let's give this a negative two. I didn't hate it, but it's not for me, and it's not something I would recommend. Even our other Christmas podcast pals, if you want to cover it, go for it, but don't say I didn't warn you.
Yeah, it's just kind of there, right?
Right, and we did kind of just pick it because it was the shorter of the two.
Literally picked based on the runtime between the two movies. So
and yet Bradford still could not give it his full undivided attention. To be fair, neither could I.
Yeah.
I watched enough of it and I got my notes in. But come on, guys.
Negative two.
Negative
zero,
two.
Negative two.
Zero.
Is that where we're gonna land?
Zero, negative two. That's where our crankometer for An All Dogs Christmas Carol is going to land, and oh boy, I mean, it's no Daddy's Home too, but then what is?
I want to say I enjoyed Daddy's Home 2 a lot more than this movie.
Oh yeah, like it, unquestioned.
Low walls to jump over here, but come on.
This is kind of like the joke in Hot Fuzz where Nick Angel does the backflip over the fence and then Nick Frost just crashes through it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty much what we're working with here, guys. So I'm sorry that I made y'all do this tonight.
It's fine. This is what this podcast is about, is watching garbage. And this was garbage.
I mean,
so it's all good.
these are the trenches that we said we wanted to get back into.
Have we discovered the meaning of Christmas yet?
I think the meaning of Christmas is for businesses to make up any sort of loss of income over the rest of the year, right? Is that where we landed?
Yeah, I hate to say it, I really do, but I think South Park got it right. The spirit of Christmas really is commercialism.
I really want to watch, like, really so bad it's good garbage. I need another Rap City Street Kids. Give me one of those, please.
Oh man. I was thinking about Rap City Street Kids. This is like, we're winding this down, so I'll give us this thought and we'll be on our way. I was thinking about Rap City Street Kids the other day because we went to see Godzilla versus Kong, or Godzilla X Kong, because they're lovers now. And it's great. Like, it's a great dumb action movie. It's my kind of thing. But I see people online saying, like, oh, the graphics look terrible, the visual effects look terrible, and I'm like, have you seen Rap City Street Kids? Do you know what terrible graphics are? Because I don't think you do.
Right.
I mean, it's I don't know.
Have you seen Wish? Go watch Wish and then watch Godzilla X Kong and Kong and tell me which has worse graphics. Please. Oh, man.
Oh, God.
Have you seen Phantasm? It's free on Tubi. It's good for a watch or a rewatch.
You know, you're making a good case here for Phantasm, J-Man. Maybe April Sadness doesn't have to be all bad.
Yeah.
We're not watching Phantasm for this. No, I'm kidding. We can watch it for our own selves. We can watch it for our own selves and have a good time.
Yes.
But is there anything else we want to talk about before this show ends tonight, guys?
I already talked about Phantasm.
Yeah. Yep. You got that in.
Check. Got that.
I did my Mice and Men joke. That's great. Okay. I think we covered it all, guys.
We talked about how Don Bluth loves killing dogs and other animals. Yep.
I mean, got that. Like, been on kind of a Don Bluth kick lately this week. Like, we watched the second American Tail movie, Five-O Goes West, literally ends with a dog staring at a sunset, and you realize, like, oh, that's Jimmy Stewart's last movie role. This dog dies at the end of this movie.
Whew.
Yowza. So, yeah, we don't know what's coming next on the podcast, because if we call our shot, they're just going to take the movie away from us. So why even bother? But rest assured, we will find some fun trash and bring it to you soon on the next episode of Christmas Creeps. So if you want to send us your requests for anything, or just yell at us for no reason, you can email us at xmascreeps@gmail.com. You can find us on all the socials. We're, you know, on Twitter, Facebook, X, Blue Sky, whatever you want to call them, at Christmas Creeps. That's where we are. Or you can go find our Discord channel. The link is in the show notes. That's kind of where we spend most of our time. That's where the fun stuff happens.
It's where the magic happens.
If you want to call it magic, yes. That's where
mostly just reposting stuff about video games and politics.
It's
where that happens.
Mostly video games, politics, memes. Every once in a while, our buddy Dr. Nick will talk about some gunplay stuff. It's a good time.
Gunpla.
Gunpla? Thank you, sir. Gunpla.
Yeah. We talk about gunplay as well, but that's mostly in video game chat as well.
Yeah, anyway. I mean, whatever. So, we have almost talked as long as the feature film that we were discussing this week. So let's just end the show here. Folks, thank you for listening to Christmas Creeps. I've been Joseph Wade.
I'm Bradford.
Is it my turn?
Maybe. Yeah,
you want to talk about Phantasm some more?
Yeah, I'm Reggie Bannister from Phantasm.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Happy Christmas. Happy Christmas.